joining us on the Diamond Factory Ticket Hotline. We are joined by comedian Shucky Ducky. Shucky, what's up, man?
Oh, Shucky Ducky, quack, quack.
All right, I have to explain why we have Shucky Ducky on, because we were talking, I think we was talking to Ali Sadiq, and then we started talking about comedy, and right, I mentioned right, yeah. Shucky and his tagline, and you fell out, Matt. Yeah. You laughed, and you've been saying that probably since, for about 2 or 3 weeks. I was you know what? I think I can get in touch with him, and here he is right now. We have Shucky Ducky on, and it's happy to be joined by you, man, because I'm Dallas Oak Cliff born and bred, and I know you are local, and man, I was around at the absolute height of your comedic powers. You were doing your thing and you were all over the place, and it was fun to see, man.
Yeah, the catchphrase caught on, man, and everybody who said it, they just love it, and that's the reason why I started marketing it. And I wasn't really a comedian. The catchphrase was so catchy, and when people hear it, they laugh. I say, well, how can I market this thing? I don't have no money. They say stand-up comedy. So stand-up comedy, I took the route of stand-up comedy to make it popular.
So where did you come up with the catchphrase Shucky Ducky and then adding the quack quack to that?
Okay, well, there's a phrase I used to say it all the time, because I was a bus driver for DART in Dallas, Texas. And everybody catching my bus, I would say Shucky Ducky. And I go to a club and I see something that's disappointing, I say, oh, Shucky Ducky. And I see a fine girl, I said, oh, Shucky Ducky. So it stuck. It stuck. And so when I started marketing it, I followed this timeline. Followed this marketing plan, where I created a rap record. It was a rap record, and a good friend of mine named Hogan Starr, who is also from Washington, D.C., who did Go-Go Band, he wrote the rap song, and we put that Shucky Ducky, and then he'd say, oh, quack, quack. And then so we put it, so when I started doing shows, I saw Shucky Ducky, quack, quack, and just stuck.
Now, okay, you said you weren't a comedian, you were driving a bus. So when you said, all right, I can do comedy, how long of a road was that? Because there's a lot of people who get into that business and they just can't find their footing. And it felt like if you're not in it at first and then it skyrocketed, when did you know that you were going to get to the heights where you got?
Well, the thing was this. Okay, I started marketing phase in 86. I started doing comedy. I took comedy classes I went to the West End Cabaret in downtown Dallas at the Tony Romo's, and I did an open mic night. I did one joke, and when I came off that stage, the guy said, hey, man, I like your voice, and I like your stage presence. He said, there's an organization called the Comedy Gym that teaches you the ins and outs of stand-up comedy. So I went and signed up for their class. I didn't have no money, so I had to put everything on layaway. You know, I paid $25 here.
There you go.
$25 there, yeah. $15 there, you know, try to, you know, learn this class. And then so I made my debut in 1988 at the Funny Bone in Arlington, Texas. And then after that, I stayed with the bus driving until 91. Excuse me again. I quit my job in 91 and moved to L.A. And, man, that was the worst thing I could have done.
Okay, why is that?
Yeah.
Because, like, everybody called me up there and they say, Shuck, yo, you a star yet? I say, yeah, starving my ass off. And so I got back to Dallas quick, fast, and hairy because everything wasn't working out for me. And, you know, I told them I was coming back for Thanksgiving, but I had all my stuff packed up in the car. And then so I started calling people up. They say, hey, Shuck. I say, this is Shuck. I say, hey, Shuck, where are you, Hollywood? I say, no, Wynwood. I'm in the Wynwood apartment.
It's a whole different type of wood around there, let me tell you.
Whole different wood.
Yeah.
And then that's when I ran into Steve Harvey at the comedy club at Redbird Mall. It was a comedy club called Bucuray. Yeah. Ran into Steve Harvey, showed him my resume, went up and did a set, and then I became the host of his comedy club.
Man, Vuku Ray's was hot back in that day. I was, used to go there all the time, and all the big comedians came around there. And then that kind of propelled you, man, because you're on Def Comedy Jam, Comic View, all that. Just kind of tell me about that rise. And was that kind of overwhelming a bit when all the things kind of started opening up for you?
Yeah, well, Steve Harvey got me on the Apollo. I always wanted to do the Apollo. My, really, The ultimate goal and the ultimate high for me was doing the Apollo.
Okay.
Because that was, if the black people can get accepted in a New York at Apollo, you can get accepted anywhere as a comedian, because they always boo them, whether you're professional or unprofessional, they're going to boo you, you know. But Steve Harvey was the reason I got on the Apollo, and I did well. I did well. I was, you know, I was happy that I did well. And then so I left the Apollo, and across the street was a club called the Perkins Club. I think it was a Perkins Club, and they had a contest in there, and they said they had a comedy show and a contest, and then it was a gangster in there. I said, if anybody can make me laugh, I get him $100. I walked in, and when he said that, man, I said, give me that mic. Bam, I walked out with that $100.
Did you hit him with a shucky ducky quack quack, and that was it, right?
I hit him with all I got to do is a shucky ducky quack quack. If I don't, my whole show, if I don't do shucky ducky quack quack, I ain't did no comedy.
That's what I was about to ask you, because now you have a lot of artists, and this is shucky ducky, comedian shucky ducky, local from Dallas. And so if you do a show and you're saying, you know what, a lot of artists, if they do their old shows or songs, they'll say, okay, that's it. I don't want to perform that anymore. And then people get a little restless because they want to hear the hits. I was just about to ask you, you can't do a set without doing that at least a few times, right?
Right. I can't do a set without doing that a few times. Sometimes I make them hold, I hold it, but I'm making hold it because, you know, when I start saying shucky ducky, if I say shucky ducky, don't people automatically say quack quack. And sometimes I can't get through I can't get through my set because they quacking.
That's awesome. So are you still doing stuff? Are you still touring? Do you do stuff locally around here at all?
No, well, I do the improv, the Arlington Improv. I do that every three months. I do a Shucky Ducky and Friends, a Shucky Ducky thing. But I'm going to San Antonio this weekend at the Upstage Comedy Lounge in San Antonio and doing a set there. And then I've got to do the Omegas of Raleigh Durham. That's in September the 21st and 22nd. Then I got to host some fundraiser I got to do for Miss Verna. And then I've got to host a stage play in November, and it's just a lot. I got a lot of hosting and a lot of stuff on the table.
Because you were the ringmaster for a while for Universe Soul Circus, correct?
Yeah, that's when the jokes wasn't working. That's when the jokes wasn't working.
had to get it somehow, right?
Yeah, the jokes wasn't working. I had to find me some more employment. And they had the opening for the ringmaster. Well, they had the opening. They was hired me to be an act in the circus, but something happened where I became the ringmaster, which was a better position anyway. And I had to even learn that because I thought maybe we were going to be doing shows like at 7 o'clock at night and then be off the rest of the day from there. They had me early in the morning talking about we're going to do a show at 10 o'clock. I said, 10 o'clock? We're going to do a show at 10 o'clock. I say, where are we going to get the audience from? They say, children, kids. They open up the school. I say, man, I can't entertain no kids.
You don't think Shucky Ducky Quack Quack goes over well with the 8-year-olds? Come on now.
It might.
I didn't know no nursery rhymes. I wasn't into the nursery rhymes and all of that type of stuff. I must have said Shucky Ducky Quack Quack about 1,000 times because I was lost.
Well, man, it is an absolute pleasure speaking with you again. Like I told you, I grew up in Oak Cliff, man, from here, born and raised here, and Vukarays was hot, and we would see you all the time, and really, really appreciate what you're doing now, and thanks for taking the time, man. We really, truly appreciate it.
All right, Donovan and Matt, y'all keep it up. Y'all invading my prophecy.
All right, man, have a great day, man. Hopefully, we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, it's real good.
All right, that's...
There it is.
There it is indeed.
All right, Shucky Ducky, Quack Quack, the best.
Comedy legend around here locally, seriously, man. In the early, late 90s, he was everywhere. Comic View was big on BET, and he would show up on there all the time. Again, like you said, the Apollo, you would not even dream about going to the Apollo as a comedian if you didn't think you had your ass together, because they would boo you off the stage in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's big time, man.
And it happened locally. A lot of comedians ran through here because Steve Harvey and his comedy club around there by Redbird was huge.
Still doing the Arlington Improv, you said, every once in a while.
How about that now? How about that, Travis? We just had Shucky Ducky Quack Quack on.
That was awesome.
I was like, as soon as you said it, I was like, all right, well.
That's it.
He got mad at
you. Nice talking to you. That's all he needed to hear.
Oh, man. They're just things, and oh, shucky ducky quack quack.
Boy, that's not going to stop him from saying it now. Not. I think it's going to increase everything. Seriously. We were on the road and going to Cowboys training camp, kind of a lull in the conversation, and he mentioned something. I don't even know what it was, but it did. Oh, shucky ducky quack quack.
I can't get enough of it, man. Like, I want to go. I may go get lunch later, and they'll be like, oh, what were you thinking about, sir? And I'm like, that's a good question. Can I just get a, you know, maybe a side of shucky ducky quack quack?
They will look at you like you are going nuts.
Maybe.
Going
maybe they will.
Crazy.
But it's a lot of fun. That was cool.
That was very cool.
That was enjoyable.
We do have a few minutes before we get to the Rangers and Matt Shovel that he brought into the studio. Usually I'll bring a big old bucket of basketball, and he brought a big old shovel because he's ready to do it.
Shuttle and a nail gun.
Just ready.
A box that looks like it'll fit. A roster.
All right, last update. Cone gone.
No more cone.
We did it.
You should have seen him when I took that thing off. It was like
whole body was wagging.
It was Harriet Tubman free. He's ready. Just kind of running around.
I'm ready.
Harriet. How long have you had that one cooking up?
Oh, yeah, I had that in the holster. You saw me ready to pour that one out, right? I was ready to fire that one off.
Oh, Harriet Tubman.
Oh, shucky ducky quack.
Oh, man.
That's free right there.
Yeah,
man.
He was free. He's ready. Okay. He was like, yes, so happy. Right. Sometimes you wonder, is my dog smiling? Is my dog happy? Oh. And then when that happened, it was just sweet relief.
Did he immediately go to his place that he couldn't get to before because he wouldn't fit?
Yes. He immediately went there. And then, you know, there were a couple of other things that he hadn't been able to do in about a week or so that he kind of lost a little timing on. That,
re-explored.
Yeah. I missed you so.
Went to his room and had some private
time. Just immediately starts licking down there.
Dude, and then my wife immediately threatens to put it right back on his head. I will put that cone back on your head if you don't stop. He's like, look, it's been like a vacation for like a 9 days. I miss this.
Yeah. I gotta get back to my true pastime.
What I do best.
I tell you.
Man, if I didn't love him so much, I would have taken out my phone and just recorded because that was a little catch-up session. That I just wanted to give him a little bit of privacy. Hey, man, you do what you have to do. I understand. I get it.
Yeah, I've broke my right arm before.
You know, sometimes you just have to do it. As dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've all been there. And so he said to take care of his business.
Okay. Sometimes you got to take care of things.
And he wanted, but he made sure to get out of our sight. It wasn't just immediately right there. He walked off. We were the ones that were invading the privacy.
That's fair.
That's
like, can I have a minute?
It was really funny. Like, okay, what do you guys expect?
Guys?
It's been like 9 days.
Yeah. What do you expect? He's doing the best he can with what he's been given.
I think a couple of times yesterday, he kind of attempted, but then realized, dang it, this cone is still here. You know, I can't do anything about it. But, boy.
When this cone gets off,
I got him a little glass of doggy wine. A couple of appetizers so he can kind of
doggy CBD, relax him a little bit, lit some doggy candles.
Just let him be, let him have it. And I think he appreciate that. See, I'm a good father.
You are.
I wasn't threatening him to put the cone back and have him do the same thing like the lady was.
Yeah.
I was appreciating and understanding what he needed to do to get back to being the dog that he is. All right. It's 10:27. It's the world's most dangerous midday show. Donovan Lewis, Matt McLaren, we're here until 1 o'clock.